Our first case for argument this morning is 22-1193, IPA Technologies v. Amazon. Mr. Powers, please proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. The District Court below made errors of claim construction that require reversal and an error of procedure that would require remand. I'd like to begin with the errors of claim construction, if I may.
There are other allegations that were not dealt with by the judge, so at most it would be a remand for him to consider the other issues.
Certainly it would be remand. When I say reversal, it's reversal of this ground of summary judgment. There were other grounds of summary judgment argued that obviously would have to be covered on remand. No question. That's all we've
argued. Sorry to take your time.
No problem. So the first, both errors of claim construction were limitations imposed by the District Court on the form of the service request. And the District Court's quite cursory opinion does not cite any of the limiting language that this court usually requires to impose such restrictions on otherwise broad claim language. The first limitation imposed by the District Court was that the request that is part of the system must contain all levels or all aspects of the ICL, the overall language. There is no question that the overall language must have both a content layer and a conversational layer. That's not in dispute. What is in dispute is whether the request that's made must have both of those present as well. The claims do not so require. The specification does not require. And the District Court's, as I say, quite cursory opinion simply does not support that conclusion. And the claims themselves, as we point out in the briefs that I'm happy to discuss now, are actually inconsistent with that conclusion, as is the specification. So the claim language specifically makes clear that the ICL language as a whole must contain both of those layers, no question. But
yeah,
the service...
And then it says receiving a service request in the inter-agent language.
Exactly. In or adhering to... those are all their various formulations, and it is in the language. It doesn't say that the request, which is part of that language, or adhering to that language, or in the language, must contain all aspects of the language. And I think the example we gave in the brief is quite apt. The English language, as an analogy, has many tenses and rules and all sorts of things. So the question, for example, what time is it, adheres to the English language, even though it doesn't include the past perfect subjunctive tense or many other aspects of the English language. But it adheres to it because the words it uses are English and it follows the rules of the English language. Whereas the phrase, why apples is to be oranges, contains all English words, but does not adhere to the rules of the English language and therefore would not adhere to the English language in the same way that the previous phrase would. Neither one contains every aspect of the English language, and there's certainly nothing in the claims or the specification that suggests that this individual request must contain every aspect of the language. And in fact, the claims and the specification are clear otherwise in making clear that the request itself is actually part of the content layer. And that is the point that we made in the briefs, where if you look at claim one, for example, it says of the 115 patent, it says receiving a request for service, which is the relevant term, as a base goal. Okay, so a base goal is something that the patents define as something which actually is part of the content layer, not the conversational layer. And the District Court's basis for granting summary judgment was that the request, although part of the content layer, did not have a conversational layer built into it. But claim one of the 115.
But would it be possible to understand the goal if it didn't comport with the structural requirements of the ICL? I don't think it would.
Yes, because the other aspects of the system are apply the rules of the ICL to it. And for example, if you look at...
Well, the other aspects include the conversational protocol.
Absolutely.
Right.
And if you, I think the best way to understand that is to look at page 13 of the blue brief, the flow diagram. That is undisputedly how the Alexa system operates. And if you compare that to figures 4 and 6 of the asserted patents, they are strikingly similar. They're almost identical, at least to figure 6. And what this flow diagram shows, as an example, is someone might say orally, Alexa, play Hey Jude by the Beatles. That's an oral utterance. That's not going to be understood by the system. So it goes through this automatic speech recognition, and what comes out is surf text, the S-I-R-F, which is discussed in the briefs at some length. That surf text parses that oral utterance and puts it in, makes it clear so it's understandable by the system what is being asked. Then the next part of the system converts as part is where you see the conversational protocols and the rules being applied to it. And that's how Alexa then says, I know that they're asking me to play Hey Jude by the Beatles. And it goes and finds the agent that can play Hey Jude by the Beatles and does so. So not every aspect of the system has to have every aspect of the system.
Well, except that the claim also has recites interpreting the service request. And one step of that is to construct a goal satisfaction plan. And that plan, according to the district court's construction, has to be consistent with the advice parameters. And the advice parameters are given by the conversation layer. So you're saying that everything has to have everything, but these claims and the unappealed constructions weave the conversation layer into the elements of the claim.
The conversation layer is present for sure, but it's not present in the request. So the issue on the appeal is not whether the conversation layer is required and these rules and protocols are required. Of course they are. But the request...
Did you appeal the construction of the conversation layer as a layer of rules which govern the structure of the inter-agent communication?
No, and didn't need to. Because the issue on appeal is whether the service request has to have that layer. And the service request does not. It's a goal, which is part of the content layer. And the conversational layer...
If the surf message has to adhere to the rules of the ICL, doesn't it have to use the conversation layer under the district court's construction?
Absolutely. The entire method does, just not the request itself by itself.
Well, the goal satisfaction plan, though, is defined by the service request, correct?
The goal is defined by the service request.
The goal satisfaction plan.
The goal. That's what the claim says. And the two work together. So the service request defines what's being asked for, and the rest of the system then defines how to go get it and to satisfy the request. So the issue isn't whether the conversational layer is required or even whether it's present. There's not a meaningful debate, I think, whether the conversational layer is present in the accused system. There's certainly, exactly according to the court's construction, a set of protocols that ends up producing exactly the same result. This flow diagram, as I say, is exactly the same as the patent diagram, or effectively the same. You get a request. The system parses that request to make certain that the system understands what is being asked for. And then the system sends that out to different agents to satisfy the request. That's exactly what the flow diagram on page 13 of Alexa describes, and that's exactly what the patent describes. So yes, of course, Your Honor, the conversational layer is involved and is required for the claim as a whole, because otherwise it wouldn't work. But it is not required for the request itself. The request merely is defining what's being asked for.
I'm not sure if I understand your distinction between the goal and the goal satisfaction plan. Claim 1 says, receiving a service request in the form of an arbitrary complex goal expression, and then, quote, interpreting the arbitrarily complex goal expression. One step of that is constructing the goal satisfaction plan. So I don't see this line you're drawing between the goal and the goal satisfaction plan.
The goal satisfaction plan is something that is not necessarily have to be part of the request. There's nothing in the claim that says the goal satisfaction plan is part of the request. And there's nothing in the claim that says the conversational layer has to be part of the request.
Well, one step, it seems to me, of interpreting the arbitrarily complex goal expression is actually constructing the goal satisfaction plan. Right?
And that happens later, absolutely. That is not necessarily part of the request. The request is just, what is the goal? And that's parsing it to say, but let's make sure we understand what the request actually is. And that's exactly what SURF does.
But claim one says receiving a service request in the form of an arbitrarily complex goal expression.
Yes.
And interpreting that requires constructing the goal satisfaction plan.
The goal satisfaction plan is how you would execute on it. Interpreting it merely requires understanding what the request is. The next step of the process, which is all part of the conversational layer, is executing on what that goal is, what that request is. And there's no doubt that that is required, that you have to figure out how to satisfy the goal. And that means figuring out which agent is the one that can play Hey Jude, and then go talking to that agent and making sure that agent understands that you want it to play Hey Jude, and then playing Hey Jude. All of that is satisfying the goal. The goal itself is merely, what is the request? And that's what SURF does, which is to parse the request and make certain the system understands what is being asked for. And that's common sense. The goal, the request is a request. What, play Hey Jude. Let's make sure the system understands what that means, because maybe the person said it with an accent, maybe the person said it quickly, and so you have to interpret it to make certain that the system is acting on what the right request is. And then you go satisfy that goal by figuring out which agent to do it, making sure you've asked for it in the right format, etc. And that is the question of, and as I say, 115 patent claim 1 makes clear that the content layer, quote, comprises one or more goals. So to say that the goals or the request is a goal, to say that the goal has to be in the conversational layer is directly contrary to the claim itself, which says the content layer has the goal. And there's absolutely nothing in the claim of the specification which says that the conversational layer has to be part of that request. That's simply not something in the claim or the specification. And in fact, the specification is squarely inconsistent with that, where it says at column 10 of 115, that preferably the ICL supports expression of goals, i.e. the requests, in a, quote, underspecified, loosely constrained manner. The district court's opinion requires it to be in a highly constrained, very specified manner. So the specification is saying we ought to be able to have a request framed in a variety of ways, because the whole point of this is Alexa and these systems are supposed to be able to handle requests in different languages, in different formats. You might say, what's my itinerary versus what's my schedule? All of that has to be handled the same, ultimately responded to the same way. So when the specification says it should be underspecified, loosely constrained manner for the requests, that is the exact opposite of what the district court required. The second wrong construction...
Do you intend to save any time for rebuttal?
I absolutely do.
Then you probably ought to sit down because you're down to 2 minutes left.
I'd be happy to. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Good morning. May it please the court. Dave Haddon for Amazon. Judge Andrews did not perform any additional claim construction at summary judgment. He applied the ordinary meaning of the simple English words in, adhering to, and in accordance, according to. The claims all require that this ICL is used and that a service request in that ICL is used. And the service request has to either adhere to, be in, or be according to that language. And if we look at claim 50 of the 560 patent, which is one of the independent claims that Judge Andrews discussed in his order, and this is at appendix 82 in the back of the blue brief, it requires interpreting a service request in order to determine a base goal. The service request adhering to the interagent communication language, the ICL including a layer of conversational protocol. And it goes on and says that how that is defined by event types and these parameters, right? Now, that language, this whole clause regarding the conversational protocol there, was added to every independent claim in this case during prosecution for allowance, because there were other agent systems that predated this that had agent languages. And the thin reed that these patents got allowed over was this conversational protocol layer and the fact that it has these parameters that Your Honor, Judge Moore mentioned that are used to determine this goal satisfaction plan, and that those parameters are part of this conversational layer. Now, Judge Andrews construed this conversational protocol layer based on the specification as being a layer of rules that define the structure of interagent communications.
That's not appealed, right?
Excuse me?
That's not appealed?
That is not appealed.
Correct.
Correct, Your Honor. And as Judge Prost noted, right, you need this layer because you need to know what kind of message is being sent between the agents. That is what these events are.
And it wouldn't, I think this comes from the district court, that it would be impossible for the receiving agent to understand the message.
Exactly, Your Honor. Exactly. That is the purpose of the conversation. So there are different types of messages these agents can send. One type of message is this service request. And a service request is identified in the ICL by a message type within the conversational protocol layer. And we can look at, that's actually described, I'm sorry to switch specifications, but it's described in the specifications are the same, but it's in the top of column 11 of the 115 patent. And it explains that, for example, the agent library procedure, and this is at line 2, OAA solve can be used by an agent to request services of other agents. That's exactly the service request that we're talking about in these claims. And it says a call to that function, OAA solve, within the code of agent A results in an event having the form. And it has this example, EV post solve. Now, EV stands for event. Post-solve is the event type within the conversational protocol layer that is used to identify this message when it is sent from the agent to the facilitator as being a service request. That is using the rules of this conversational protocol layer. Now, there is content, and that's the goal within the parentheses, but in all uses of the ICL and the specification, the content layer is embedded within a message defined in the conversational protocol layer. That's how this works. So when counsel...
Well, when you say that's how it works, I mean, the difficulty is that there's a difference between saying something must be included and saying something must adhere to.
I understand, Your Honor, but if we go back to kind of the claim of 50 of the 560 patent, right? It says it has to adhere to the ICL, and then it says the ICL includes this layer, right? The communication layer, which are the rules that define the structure of the communications. Now,
well, doesn't that just mean it has to adhere to the conversation protocol?
It says it has to adhere to the language, and the language has to include. So I'm just saying, if we take even counsel's example, right? If this said interpreting a request in the English language, or interpreting a request adhering to the English language. The English language including a layer of grammatical rules. There's no doubt that a request that does not abide by the grammatical rules of English would not meet that requirement. And that's exactly the same situation we have here, right? The conversational protocol layer is not some ancillary thing. It is the rules that define the structure of the communications in this language, just like grammatical rules in English. So the plain meaning of this requires that this layer exists. And as Your Honor pointed out, other elements, once you start interpreting the request, you need the parameters that are in the conversational layer. And if this was not a requirement of this claim, right, if the conversational layer and the parameters were not, this claim would not be allowed, right? If it wasn't a requirement, because the only use of the ICL in claim 50 is in the service request, right? So, and if the service request didn't have to abide by the conversational protocol, then that conversational protocol and the parameters and all of the limitations that were required for the claim to issue would not be part of the claim.
I just have a procedural question.
Yes.
There's another argument which we really didn't meaningfully touch on today, and that is, didn't the district court also grant summary judgment when the notion that the SERF cannot be the claimed ICL request because the SERF is a format, not a language?
Well, so the court did not import a negative limitation. He did not say a format cannot be a language or a language cannot be a format. All he did was repeat the representation and the statements that plaintiff made. They said SERF and BIF are formats. They are not languages. And he picked up on the point that they're not languages by their own admission. And when pushed at the hearing, like making the obvious point, right, if this SERF is not a language and the BIF is not a language, and counsel admitted that. This is at appendix 38355. He said neither is a language.
But didn't they argue that collectively they're all language?
They argued that, but when pushed by Judge Andrews, like, how could that be? If you have these two disparate things, a BIF and a SERF, neither is a language, how can you mush them together and be a language? They had no answer. And this is at 38366. Ultimately, what IPA's counsel's response was is that the required ICL is, quote, not a thing. And we agree, it is certainly not a thing in Alexa. And to be clear, right, so what is this SERF? The SERF is just an object that includes the words the user spoke, right? It is the best interpretation of the audio signal as a sequence of words. That's it. It gets passed on to this natural language understanding component and other components in Alexa that then try to figure out what the user wanted to do. But we're still in English at this point, right? The SERF is a collection of English words. It is not an agent language. It doesn't go to a speechlet or a skill or anything else that IPA said were agents in this mapping of the claims. It's just English. And the patent is very clear that English words are not the ICL. Right.
So just to be clear, though, was this an alternative basis for granting summary judgment, or was this just an add-on? Because that's not that issue isn't necessary.
No, that isn't. I'm just trying to explain why.
No, of course. No, yeah. It's in the case.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering what.
No, it was not an alternative. The judge relied on our first argument.
It's not an alternative basis? That the district court didn't alternatively rule on that?
Well, I think the court said that SERF and BIF were not languages, and I think that is sufficient. I don't think the only issue that was addressed in the order is that the service request is not in the ICL or adhering to the ICL.
Yeah, I wasn't quite clear on what the status and stature of that conclusion in
right,
the district
right.
court
So, was. I mean, the point was that if neither of these things are a language, there's no way to say that just grabbing disparate objects out of the air makes a language. That was the point that Judge Andrews was making, and he was making that based on IPA's own admissions. Let me just finally address briefly this due process notion. IPA had all kinds of due process. They served 400 pages of supplemental final infringement contentions on the last day of fact discovery, the last hour of fact discovery. And though Judge Andrews was not happy about that, he did not strike them. He left them in the case. Our expert explained why, even in those contentions, there was no consistent mapping of this claim element. And that was in her opening expert report. I'll just find you a site. So she had a heading, Alexa does not have an agent language, and that is at appendix 21906. She also explained why the combination of this SERF object and this BIF did not meet the conversational protocol layer. That is in appendix 24461. She also explained why the SERF object itself cannot be a service request. And that is in appendix 24470-71 and 21962. And because we are in Delaware, IPA had the opportunity to provide a reply infringement report. And they did. So they had every opportunity to respond. And in the reply report, they kind of made clear for the first time that they were relying solely on the SERF as the service request. So after that, we moved for summary judgment, and this argument was in our opening brief, and that is at appendix 19955. It was in our reply brief. That's at appendix 38008. And before the oral argument, Judge Andrews asked the parties to rank their arguments, to order them. And this was our first argument, the first ranked argument. So they had every opportunity to respond. And in fact, they put in an additional declaration from their expert responding to our summary judgment motion, so that they went beyond their expert report to respond. And so they had every opportunity. So there was no due process violation, there was no surprise claim construction, and there was no importing of a negative limitation. Judge Andrews merely relied on their own admissions that what they're pointing to, this SERF, is not a language, and it does not have, in fact, any of the requirements of the ICL. That's one point that maybe is not clear from their brief, but again, at the claim construction argument, their counsel admitted, and this is at appendix 38355, Mr. Skiermont, their counsel, said that, correct, the SERP portion of Alexa's interagent communication language is not the portion of the ICL that has the layer of conversational protocol and content protocol. It's never been argued that way. It's always been that those are in the BIF. So in fact, at the end of the day, they pointed to nothing in the interagent communication language that is actually part of the SERF, which they said is the service request that has to adhere to that language. If you have no other questions, I'll sit down.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hoffman.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Powers, you have some rebuttal time?
Thank you, Your Honor. Counsel began by saying that the district court merely applied the ordinary meaning of ICL. That's not quite accurate. What happened was the parties agreed that this adhering to language that's at issue here was subject to ordinary meaning. Neither side said what the ordinary meaning was. The district court's terse opinion does not purport to rely upon any evidence of ordinary meaning, and Amazon offered no evidence of ordinary meaning. The only evidence of ordinary meaning came from our expert, which is utterly irreconcilably inconsistent with the district court's decision imposing these two limitations. Counsel also argued that SERF is not a language. True, SERF is a format, but the claim does not require that SERF be a language or that the request be a language. The clear distinction is it merely requires that it be adhering to a language, consistent with that language, something that follows the language. And there really isn't a dispute that that is true. Counsel relies on the top of column 11 of the 115 patent to say that this is somehow inconsistent or supports the district court's claim construction. If you look at the bottom of column 10, it says that's merely one example of a preferred embodiment. That is far, far, far from the restrictive language this court requires if we're going to limit otherwise broad claim language by imposing a limitation from the specification. With regard to the question of the format versus language question, which Your Honor asked, that one, our expert resolved conclusively. Our expert makes clear that, the district court did in fact rule that as a basis for summary judgment. The exact quote from his opinion is, SERF cannot be an ICL service request because SERF is a format, not a language. SERF doesn't have to be a language, it merely has to adhere to it. And SERF is a format, but the claims specifically say, 115 patent, the 115 patent specifically makes clear that a format can be a service request. It specifically calls a service request submitted in a format. I believe that's claim 35, 36, and 29. And our expert, Dr. Medvedich, declaration goes on to talk, for example, about the Java language. And the Java language is comprised of many formats, just as this ICL is. So the idea that formats can't make up part of a language is simply untrue. There's no support for it, and our expert makes quite clear why that's true. With regard to the due process issue, there was absolutely no notice that this was a claim construction issue that we should be responding to. We had no opportunity to provide alternate infringement theories. We had no opportunity to provide doctrine of equivalence theories with regard to this claim construction. This claim construction came for the first time in the summary judgment order. And that's now not how district courts should be run. You have a claim construction process where the parties identify the terms for construction. Yes, that happened here. The parties said this is plain meaning. And then you have a process whereby you are.
On A19955 of their original summary judgment brief, they raised the argument that Amazon does not infringe because the claims require the service request to, quote, meet all the requirements of the ICL, end of quote, which they said repeatedly included using the conversational layer. So, and then you responded to it on A28843-44. And then the district court adopted virtually verbatim the language in Amazon's brief in its actual opinion with regard to the construction. So I don't know how you can say it wasn't raised and you didn't have an opportunity to respond. On the pages I cited, it seems like it was raised, you responded, and the district court's opinion virtually quoted the argument they made and found in their favor.
That one throwaway sentence in the middle of a different argument is not how claim construction should be done in a district court. There was a claim construction process well before this. The term that was...
You referred to it as one throwaway argument. Did you or did you not, on two pages of your responsive opposition, respond to the argument?
We did.
28843-44. So
we
you
did,
responded.
As a factual
so you can't
matter.
Say you weren't on notice and didn't have an opportunity to respond because you saw it and you responded.
What I'm saying is not that we didn't respond. We did. We responded on those two in those two paragraphs. What we didn't have was an opportunity to argue a full claim construction issue to the district court. This one throwaway sentence is not a claim construction brief.
You
Our
saw
sentence
it.
Is not.
You responded to it. You had notice. You had an opportunity to respond. You, in fact, did respond.
But
I think
all
that
of that
our
is
time is up. If you have a final thought, please go ahead.
Thank you. All of that is true, but that is not how claim construction should be done in a district court. That was not a claim construction argument. That was a non-infringement argument. And the non-infringement argument was baseless because the parties had agreed that plain meaning applies, not some other construction. Our point is not that the issue wasn't raised. Our point is if the district court is going to adopt a claim construction the parties have not argued for, we ought to have some process to debate that claim construction. We did
okay,
not.
Thank you. We thank both counsel. This case is taken under submission.